4 days off the booze, feeling like $1,000. Not $1,000,000, but $1,000. This is Ego and Vice. This is episode 36.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Yeah, it's true. Fuck, can you believe it? I'm off the booze. Started the 30-day no alcohol challenge with a friend of mine, and we are kind of leaning on each other, trying to stay off the beer. As you know, I enjoy my daily fix of my depressant, which has led to a lot of stupid things that I've done. All of the really bad decisions I've made in the last probably 15 years of my life have been beer-fueled, I'm going to say. So, you know, been doing a lot of reflection lately, self-improvement, if you will, some spring cleaning, and just addressing some stuff inside of me that has been ignored for a long time. So I think the main thing is I've gone to my doctors. My therapist is a wonderful lady, and the one constant in my life that I needed to really fucking get out of it was the booze. So here I am, 4 days in. I feel good. I have so much more clarity. I have so much more energy. I'm running on a little bit of a depression and mania. It's weird, like back and forth. I think it's just some withdrawal stuff. But that's cool, man. And my body is getting used to not having that downer, I suppose, or that depressant in my body. So, fucking yay me, right? And things are looking up. Things are looking bright. Putting some pieces back together. And you know what? It's funny. They're starting to fit. So, who knows? Who knows where I'm going to be at the 30-day mark? I'm hoping it'll just be like, boom, you're done. I don't even want to keep going as far as the drinking goes. I'll just keep fucking, you know, I'll go as long as I want. Who knows? Maybe I'll learn how to drink socially again. Maybe. If I even feel like it. Right now, I'm loving it. I'm loving life. Loving the energy, the fucking my brain just is, it's going crazy, but I don't know. I'm seeing things very differently. Anyway, enough about my problems. I have a band in the studio today for episode 36. This is Ego and Vice. My fucking phone's ringing. Hang on. They came in actually about 4 days ago on Monday. They came in. Today's Friday. I'm sorry I didn't get around to editing this or getting it up there, but you know, shit was going down when I was dealing with some shit. But I feel good today. Gonna put this episode up. I had Mitch and Chris from Warfare. Mitch is the drummer, and Chris is the singer of this band. They are a 6-piece band. That's a big band. They have a drummer, a bass player, 2 guitar players, and 2 singers. So these guys put on a crazy, crazy fucking high octane energy show. They're like a super band. They're made up of members of former bands called The Nummies, Hands of the Few, a current band called The Val Venus, and another band called Gusto Fiasco. They formed in 2012. And they've been going strong since. They're also in the process of recording a new record. They had an EP out a few years ago, which I'm going to be playing some songs off that shortly. I had a good conversation with Mitch and Chris. I'm glad all 6 of them didn't come in. Not that I didn't want to see them all, but Southwood Studio is not the biggest place in the world, and I didn't want anyone to be sitting on the floor. So had a great conversation with these guys. We have a show coming up. Goat has a show coming up with Warfare this Saturday at Mavericks. It's the Gutter Demons Warfare Cultural Treason and Goat. And there's a fourth band, which I will say after the break here, because I have to look them up. I apologize, guys. But before we get into this this conversation that I had with Chris and Mitch, I'm going to play a song off Warfare's self-titled EP from a few years ago. On the other side, I'll come back, and you guys can learn all about this crazy, crazy band. All right, this is Warfare. This is a song called Abuse of Power. This is Ego and Vice, episode 36, baby! Hey, we're back. This is Ego and Vice. This is episode 36. My name is Mike, and I am very happy to have a couple guys in the studio tonight, in Southwood Studio, who are in this crazy six-piece band. Unfortunately, not all six guys are here, but two of them are here. We have Mitch and we have Chris from the band Warfare. What's going on, guys?
Not a whole lot, man. How are you doing?
I'm well. It rained a little bit earlier today, but the sun has come out. And, you know, when the sun comes out and it's summertime in Canada, you're pretty happy about that, right?
This is true. And the guns also come out.
Sun's out, guns out.
Guns
Mitch.
Out.
What did you try to say, guys? Stop it.
One of us has huge muscles. It's not me. I'll leave it at that.
You got such a big brain, though.
Yeah. So I'm happy to have you guys in. And Warfare. We got some stuff coming up together. We've played before in the past.
Yeah, many times.
Yeah. And, you know, it's always been a good time. And being a six-piece band, that must be a hell of a thing to organize, no?
Yeah, definitely. Like, everyone has different time schedules, well, because all types of different jobs and whatnot. It's hard to find a specific day, you know, and events. And it's tough. It's definitely challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's probably our biggest issue as a band. I think the fact that we're a six-piece has almost broken us up countless times. Just due to the fact of that we cannot commit collectively to jam at any given time. We're so fortunate if we get all six of us together.
Well, yeah. I'm in a power trio. That's what I like to call it anyway. It makes it sound bigger than it is. In GOAT, like, there's just three of us, and I'm always constantly just trying to get these guys. Like, we have our designated jam days on Wednesdays, but there's always something that comes up with six people that's like, that must be a fucking pain in the ass. Yeah. Is it fairly like a regular though? You guys like can make it all work, or
we try. We go through phases, let's put it that way. There'll be like a few months where we're solid on every Wednesdays and we'd have a jam spot that we rented. So, you know, we're putting money into here, you know, we're trying to commit. So it's not necessarily, it's not that we don't want to, it's just, you know, life happens and it's tough, but, we're making it work.
We're getting better.
Yeah.
Cool.
Finally.
Oh yes.
And you guys are made up, obviously, when there's six people in the band, everyone has histories in the Ottawa music scene and has been around before. And I was doing a little bit of research on you guys, just trying to like find some backstory, and I'll hear it from you guys. But you guys are made up from, grab my notes, members of the Nummies.
Correct.
Hands of the Few.
Mm-hmm.
The Valvinus, which I know you are in.
Yes.
Which we've played before. I'm pointing at Mitch. Gusto Fiasco.
Mitch again.
Oh, geez.
Mitch and Ben.
Okay. Oh, Ben. Yeah, I know Ben. He's the guitar player. I've talked to Ben.
A bass player.
He was the guitar Warfare, player.
But he was guitar player for
Gusto.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to try and keep up. But Warfare was formed in 2012.
13, I think.
Well, your band camp is all wrong.
It's many things wrong about our band.
We were, because it was a, it took a while before we started it. It started with just me and Chris just talking about it for years. And then it took a while before all the members kind of, you know, they got set and whatnot. But yeah, so it probably was 2012.
Yeah, we'll update that. Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're that's I like to fact check things.
Yeah, yes, know? Thank you.
And then I like to be also called out on them.
Well, Chris, did you write that?
Yeah, that was
and
my
you're
bad.
A writer?
That was my bad. I take full responsibility for that one.
Okay. Well, since we just have Mitch and Chris in the in South Hood tonight, why don't we go individually and maybe talk about before Warfare, like where you came up in the Ottawa music scene and whatnot.
All right. I'll go first. In high school, I started my first band with Ben and Brad Frigo, that's in Mansbridge. He was also in Sidelines. We started Gusto Fiasco, and that went on for a good 5 years. We did, you know, a bunch of shows all over, still Canada-wide. And during that time, I met Chris for the first time playing a show in Montreal when he was playing with his band Hands of the Few. And that went well. Then we just kind of, you know, kept being friends, kept talking and whatnot. And then after a while, Gusto Fiasco kind of just broke off and everyone wanted to do their own thing. And then I joined Valvinus, which was a group that I always wanted to join. And then it just so happened and just stuck with them.
Have you always been a drummer?
Yes. I started playing seriously in high school when I saw Darren Jones, which was the original drummer for Valvinus. He inspired me to start back up and actually play and practice and learn my rudiments and whatnot. And then eventually I started learning how to play guitar too and writing a bit here and there, but now I just don't have time.
Wasn't Darren Jones a Much Music VJ?
What?
Just a side note. It's
no.
I thought maybe it was the same guy. That would have been really cool.
Darren Jones.
No, if you knew Darren Jones, you would know that you know Darren Jones.
Fair enough.
Let's just put it that way.
Cool. And what about you, Chris?
Well, I started in a band called Hands of the Few when I was about 14 years old. And we were a band in the Ottawa area for almost 10 years. Well, after about 7 years, we moved to Toronto with the failed hopes of making it as a punk band and trying to earn money and get a name for ourselves, which we got a small name for ourselves, and that was fun. But life happened, and after 10 years, this band sort of fell apart. But I had this idea for a band on the back burner to sort of form like a super group with some of my best buddies and some of the bands that I played with in Ottawa throughout that time. So Damon, the other vocalist of Warfare, actually, him and I went to high school together. So the two of us had this idea that we would form a band with dual vocalists just solely on vocals. And that was sort of like a pipe dream that we always wanted to bring to fruition. So Mitch was on board, which was awesome. Him and I wanted to start a project too. And so it all just sort of came together. Yeah. And the rest is history, I guess.
Have you both always been like, when you guys were younger and stuff like that, like, would you call Warfare a punk band, or is it more of a, like a thrash band, or what do you, I know you don't want to classify your band as anything, but
I think it's on the, like the edges of like, cause we do punk. It's a faster, it's aggressive. It's, you know, there's hardcore traits and even metal traits, for how, you know, certain songs, certain parts. It's definitely on the harder side, but we are punk.
Yeah, like if we were a sandpaper, we would be like, what's the coarsest sandpaper? Like a 22 or?
I'll give you two.
I have no idea.
Very coarse.
What did you guys listen to when you were growing up, like when you were kids and stuff? Like, was it always like faster music or heavier music or?
Well, me personally, growing up, my dad always blared old classics. I was always big on Zeppelin and all that, and just old rock. I always liked that. And I remember sixth grade, getting buying my first CD, and it was Offspring. It was the Americana CD. And right. Then that kind of just started, you know, and then, yeah, just built off that and going to high school and, you know, NoFX, Lagwagon, yeah, all that good stuff. And yeah, it just kept going. And yeah.
Cool. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I can't speak for the rest of the guys in the band, but growing up, I was huge into Spice Girls, and that's not a joke. Like, I'll be perfectly honest with you guys. I loved them, and then I guess I got, like, progressively a little more edgy. I was into, like, Our Lady Peace after Spice Girls.
You mean after puberty.
And then, you know, from there, Green Day, Dookie, and then, you know, I had an older brother who was 8 years ahead of me in age, so he got all the punk records first, and he introduced me to the Fat Wreck bands. So yeah, I got into the same bands, you know, Lagwagon and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I find that a lot. It's like, I was going to ask too, if you guys had like older siblings and stuff like that, because a lot of the times when you're younger, you kind of follow what your older sibling kind of likes. You know, when I was a kid, my sister liked a lot of Canadian stuff like Glass Tagger, Corey Hart, Platinum Blonde, that stuff. So that's what I liked. It wasn't until I kind of came to my own when I was a little bit older, kind of high school, and started finding my own kind of style and my own kind of music. And punk rock has always been, I've always tried to dabble in singing and playing guitar and stuff like that. And I just found punk rock was just something I could gravitate towards very easily. That type of thing. Spice Girls, I wouldn't even know how to write a Spice Girls song. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally hear you. I think, and punk is so versatile, and there's so many different subgenres within it that I think a lot of people who like punk music, at least the people I relate to, we like a whole slew of different styles, you know, like Warfare, for example, is a good example.
Yeah.
We play really hardcore, fast, thrashy punk, but, you know, on my Spotify, I'm usually listening to like fucking Me First and the Gimme Gimmes or something.
Yeah,
like,
for sure, you know, for sure. Just, yeah,
it's easy to like all sorts of styles of it.
Yeah. Could I add to that? Like, same thing. Like in high school, you know, you start learning just the big ones, and then you really start getting into punk rock and seeing different sides of it. You start kind of maturing into it, and you know, to some people, they listen to it, and it's just noise to them. They can't
all sounds oversee. The same.
Yeah.
Fast, noisy shit.
But then you start, you know, you get the ear for it, and it's very different.
One of my favorite things when I was a kid, when I started discovering punk music, and there's nothing like discovering music when you're young either. You know what I mean?
For sure.
It's like you can find a band now and be like, yeah, they're pretty good. But when you're like a kid and you're going through that transitional phase and you find this punk band or someone introduces it to you and you say, this is punk music, and you start finding all these other bands, it's such a magical moment, right?
It's euphoric.
It feels like it's your own thing. But the beauty of punk rock for me was, it was fast and it all has that same 4-4 time kind of drum stuff. But it was like that melody, and it was just so powerful, and just some hook in the chorus, you know,
the energy is just undeniable.
And you can't find music like that as you get older. It's only when in that pocket where you'll say, this is will define my music. Like, I will branch off and find other music. I know I will, but there's that one moment in when you're younger.
Yeah.
Where you find like this kind of pocket of music and you're like, yeah, this is kind of what, this speaks to me. This is what I'm about and I get this. So.
Yeah, I completely see what you're saying. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I remember the first time I heard AFI, for example. And
which is super melodic, really chorusy, very good stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
powerful,
but still has that sort of energy to those choruses. They're still really hooky, but they're, you know, they just like overwhelm you entirely. And I remember I was just obsessed, absolutely obsessed. I changed my email to inshadowsgrowingwings@hotmail.com. No. That's how obsessed I was with it.
Well, it's like when you get up in the morning and you just can't wait to walk to school to listen to those songs just to get the little shivers.
Absolutely,
and whatever.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
When I was a kid.
That's true.
Yeah, when I was a kid, like I said, I was listening to like maybe in the like the late 80s because I'm old as balls, but I was listening to like late 80s was like Guns N' Roses, like Appetite for Destruction, which is still a fucking rad record and I love it to this day. I don't care what anyone says. I'll argue it to death. But a friend of mine gave me the cassette of No Control, Bad Religion.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Didn't even have a case, nice. Just gave it to me. He's like, here, check this out. And I listened to that record. I wore like the cassette. I wore it out, and I said, this is exactly what I've been looking for my entire fucking life. And it's really weird to have that profound kind of moment when you're like 15 years old, right? But it happens, right?
Yeah.
And that's what happens. So, yeah, man. I don't know. I look back on those times very fondly, and a lot of that music that I found when I was a kid is stuff that I'm still a huge fan of today.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I don't want to spin the interview around, but do you find that still happens to you, Mike? Like, I find when I get an album that I fall in love with, and it just consumes me for the better part of a year, and I can't listen to anything else.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'll listen to it till I'm not sick of it, but I'm just like, okay, well, I'm not getting the same high as I did when I first listened to it.
Here's a great example of the question you just asked. Before I started this podcast, I kind of found like with Spotify where you can just put on a daily playlist or like say you listen to like say I'm listening to Bad Religion and then the album runs out, song 12 is done, and then it just all of a sudden just kicks into the stuff that you like, things you also might like or things associated with it. And there was a band called Off With Their Heads out of Chicago, originally from Minneapolis. It started playing and I heard this one song. It was called Seek Advice Elsewhere. And it was the first time since I was a kid where I heard something that was just like, this is really, I got that same kind of feeling. And it'd been years and years and years because I so much music today. You can find music anywhere, right? And you just play playlist, whatever, and just search stuff. But that was to answer your question. Yes. I found this band called Off With Their Heads, which have been around forever. Well, maybe 15 years, but it affected me the same way as that Bad Religion cassette. But the guy from Off At Their Heads also does a podcast. It's called Anxious and Angry out of Chicago, and this is one of the influences of why I'm even doing the podcast now. So I guess it could happen when you're older.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's rarer though. Like when you're a kid, everything you listen to is like,
yeah, yeah, it's magical, right?
But when you're north of 35, it's rare to find. So when you find something like that, yeah, absolutely.
The beauty of punk rock.
Yeah. What about you guys? What's some stuff that you've heard like lately that has just kind of moved you the same way as when you were younger?
Mitch,
I really enjoy Adrenalized.
Def Leppard?
No.
Oh.
Although,
don't they have a record called that?
No. This punk rock band, I think from. I won't even say because I don't know, but Adrenalized really. Gets me going. It reminds me of how I felt with other skate punk bands and stuff like that.
Sure.
I can't think of other ones like recently.
Well, it's hard to do though the older you get too, right?
I'm only 28. My birthday was like last weekend.
Yeah. Well, still
getting up there. 28.
Don't scare me like that.
For me, it's every Propaganda album that comes out.
Oh yeah,
it's
for
just,
sure.
Without fail. Without fail, every prop album.
Yeah, I have to agree.
What do you guys think of the? This is totally off topic, but kind of on topic. NoFX's name was brought up. What do you think of the new little conspiracy theory or the little whatever the happened there in Las Vegas?
I haven't heard enough to discuss.
Yeah, I was one, not surprised. Two, it just was in poor taste. I thought it was upsetting that happened, and it just lost a little bit of respect for them.
I know Fat Mike has a reputation of basically being who he wants to be and saying what he wants and stuff like that, but in that circumstance of being less than a year out of that was a tragic fucking incident too, and must have been like fucking horrifying for the people involved to be at an outdoor concert a couple of blocks away in that city to make like just really kind of off-color joke. And I understand what he was trying to do was he was trying to make kind of light of it and just try to be tongue-in-cheek and whatever, and stuff you joke around with your bandmates and stuff like that. But to say that on that stage was a little much. And I'm not offended. I'm not offended by it, but I was kind of, like, taken aback. Like, wow, that was kind of bad timing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I mean, like you said, it's Fat Mike, so anybody who knows his stage theatrics, I guess, or
for sure.
He speaks his mind, and you know, there was a point in time where I really respected him for that, but I mean, I just thought that comment was way over the line, and that's just where I stand on it. And it's, you know,
it was the wrong place, wrong time, too soon. You know, people joke about 9/11 now. You know, they joke about lots of horrible things. You know, they make jokes about Bill Cosby, stuff like that. Fair enough, but in the setting that it was, you know, there's time for humor, and there's time to just kind of not do that.
Step back,
bite your tongue, bite your lip.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me not like NOFX. I will always like NOFX because I grew up with them and stuff like that, and I know I'd like to think in a way that they didn't mean any like malicious harm in it, but it was just like, dude, what are you doing? You know,
especially at this day. An age, like, you got to watch what you say.
Yeah. I mean, now more than ever, it's tricky too, because we're all human, right? And sometimes things just sort of slip. But you really got to tiptoe and walk on eggshells sometimes, and or at least just try to be mindful.
Yeah,
I try.
Well, social media, right? Like, it doesn't matter what you say or what you do. Someone's going to be filming it, or someone's going to, you know, post it somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, they said something about they're going to post an apology, and all good. That's fair. I'm not personally involved in the situation. I just kind of listened to it. I just wanted to get your kind of quick opinion, just because NOFX had come up. But we digress. Let's get back to Warfare. Once Warfare was together, like, how did the first like few jams go? Did you start playing shows immediately, or
we kind of took time to just get comfortable and kind of see, okay, how are we going to do this? What's going to come out? And we just kind of jammed it out. Most of the stuff we come out with is we've all done together on the spot, and then just worked at it together. There's so many jams where Chris and Damon would just take a step back and see how everything would, you know, come together, and then, you know, figure out their ideas. We've always done it all just as a team. Mm-hmm. But it took a while, and our first few songs were just trying to find the chemistry and how we can relate and how we can feed off each other, and we're still going through that now.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that about the chemistry, because there were members of the band. I think every single member of the band has played in another band with another member.
Yeah. Sure.
But we'd never played collectively as a whole. So like Mitch and Ben were in a band, and Damon and Sean, and I'd played in a band with Drew. But not everyone knew everyone very, very well. So it was a matter of just sort of like, cool, like getting to be friends as a whole. And then sort of, I think
that was the hardest part.
We brought that was the hardest part. Yeah.
Fucking hate you. I love you.
I think we brought to the table, I suggested we cover a song. We just tried to cover in a global threat song.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
it turned out okay.
Yeah, not bad.
It's not in our roster now, but you know, it worked out
in the catalog.
It's not in the catalog. We've dropped a few, actually. We've shed a few songs as we've matured. Just been like, no, we just can't play those anymore.
Well, here's a good question. I think it is. As a six-piece band, like me being in a three-piece band, I have my bass player and my drummer. I'll just like sit at home and I'll play that acoustic guitar and I'll come up with like a riff and I'll bring it in and we kind of work it out. As a six-piece band, what's the songwriting process like? Is it a free-for-all or is there a designated songwriter?
It's kind of a free-for-all. The way it usually happens or has happened in the past, a riff was worked on and showed, and then we pretty much just fucked with it and then just built from there. So there's not really a solid writer for it. Everyone's just throwing on, you know, an idea. Like one of our newer songs, Ben, which is our bass player, came up with pretty much the key and everything and the feel of the song. And we made that off it. And, you know, everyone that's playing instruments and whatever, we kind of start building it up. And then these guys take it in their, you know, in their hands and make it their own. And then we feed off each other. It's a very different way of writing, and it requires a lot of patience.
So with the music, you start off with maybe like an idea, like a riff, and then the music, you jam it out and you kind of build it off that.
Mm-hmm.
With two vocalists, do you guys write your individual lyrics and then try and kind of make them make sense together? Or
yeah, it's kind of been different every time for every song. I mean, but I think now we're into rhythm. Like, for example, I know how Damon sings. I know how he sounds, and I know his strengths, and he knows mine. And so we can sort of just visualize what the other person, where it makes sense to visualize the vocal patterns, and we just pitch shit to each other. Like, so we don't, like, it's all over the place, man. I have no straight answer. It's like 90% of a song I'll write, 10% him. Another song, he'll write the whole thing and say, hey, why don't you sing this here? And I'm like, cool, that sounds great. Maybe I'll tweak it a bit. Sometimes it's 50-50, but the lyrics could be written in full by one person or split down the middle. It's all over the place.
When they are split, though, do you guys have to agree on like a concept, or is it like an idea of what the song's about? Like, I wrote this bunch of lyrics that I really like, but then I wrote these lyrics that are really good, but what if they don't exactly you know, do you ever have struggles with that?
Not really. Like, someone will usually take the lead on a song, for example. Damon will come back and he'll be like, I wrote this verse or this chorus, and this is what I'm thinking about the subject matter for the song. And I'll be like, cool. And then I'll take it from there and keep it in mind. And usually we just jive, and there hasn't really been, it's also just been really fun. Like, it's been challenging, but it's been super fun. Like trying to figure out different vocal patterns and lyrically we riff off each other. So it's super cool.
In that aspect, I've never seen them butt heads or anything, and they work together more than anything. It flows with you and Damon. It's really so it's something different.
So the theme of the song all has that continuity, and it, like, what you sing and what he sings, even if you write them separately, you work it out to, it's like one continuous, like one thought of, like, yes, this song is about this regardless of who wrote what.
Yeah It's interesting. Like, sometimes we'll have these weird hiccups where it'll be like the perspective will shift, we'll be like in first person or something, or we'll be addressing, you know, a fictional being or whatever, and then it'll shift and Damon will come back and I'll be like, oh, we gotta streamline this. So it does take a little bit of editing down, but no, it's been fluid.
Awesome.
Yeah. And we enhance each other, I think.
And you guys got a fucking amazingly energetic, rad live show, but you also recorded something a couple years ago, I guess, or a few years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, three or four. Yeah.
4 years ago. Yeah. Let's play a song off that earlier one, then we'll come back in and we'll talk about the process of writing that EP or that record. Do you guys want to hear a song?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
let's choose one.
What do you want to hear, Mitch? Live, Torrid?
Oh, let's do Torrid.
Let's do Torrid Soils.
All right, what was that record called?
That EP?
No Name. It was Warfare.
Warfare.
It was just a
Warfare Squared.
And the song you want to hear, the song you want to hear is Torrid Souls? Torrid Soils. All right.
Yeah.
This is Ego and Vice, episode 36. This is Warfare with Mitch and Chris. This is a song off Warfare. This is Torrid Soils.
Oh.
Soils by Warfare. I have Mitch and Chris in the studio. What was your first gig like?
Our first show, I think it was, we opened for Dagelo Abortions.
Was that really our first show?
No, shit.
I think that was our actual first show.
Really?
Yeah. And it was a Mavericks.
Mavericks, yes.
And I forget who else played with us, but I mean, I think the both of us have played Mavericks, you know, before and in the past. But for a new band, and that was sort of a big deal for us to open for a big name like that. And yeah, I remember that show quite well. Actually, we had a good turnout. I got on Damon's shoulders. You had your shirt off, obviously.
I always have my shirt off.
And I
nipple free zone.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mike.
Yeah. No, it was. I think it was like a good boost of confidence for the band, and we had like a really good great reception as far as people loved it. So yeah, man, it was really cool.
Cool.
It's all been downhill from there.
Yeah, that was the peak. Yeah. That was the apex.
Yeah.
Mitch, what do you think?
That was the climax. Yeah, no, it went really well for a first show. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Like it was like no introduction needed. We started off with a bang.
Yep.
And a great response. And I always hear like people asking me about, okay, when's Warfare doing this? And it's still like that to this day.
Yeah. Yeah.
People want to hear stuff and, you know, and we haven't really provided them.
I remember Dayglo Abortions. I'm originally from Thunder Bay, Ontario, and Dayglo Abortions used to come through at a bar called Crocs and Rolls. And I remember in the old days when it was like Jesus Bonehead on drums, and Cretan was the singer, this old crusty, I swear to God, he was 50 years old when I was like 15. I don't know. I know it went through a lot of member changes and stuff like that, but Dayglo Abortions, they're like this iconic fucking dirty fucking punk rock band, and it's cool to know that they're still going, and that's really rad that you guys played with them. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think we played with them more than once, actually.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, like it must be the same vocalist who's still in the lineup, because last time I saw them, yeah, I thought he was like 95 and he was still crushing it.
He's this old greasy old bastard. Anyway. Yeah. So after the first show, I guess, because you said this was kind of like a super group, you guys decided to put it together and you jammed it out, made it to the first show. When did it come to the point where it was just like, because you're all involved in other things, or you were all involved in other things. When did it come to the point of saying, yeah, I think Warfare is going to be kind of like a project that we're going to continue? Because even before you started talking about that, you've said you've broken up a bunch of times for different reasons. And I remember the last time we played with you guys, I think you were just coming out of like a hiatus.
To be honest, that was going to be, I think, our last show.
The show that Mike just referred to?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Or one of those that we were like, because it's once again, very hard to organize, and it's not that we don't like it. We love it, and when it's good, fuck, it's great. It was just starting to get really stressful, and we're all in different parts in our lives, but yeah, now I think we're more, you know what, now I would say that we're more involved and pushing it than we've ever had.
Yeah. I think, like you said beforehand, we would go through phases. So, like, yeah, we'd go on a hiatus, and it just sort of happened. I think it was just, you know, we'd just get discouraged, like any band who's not jamming or not, you know, playing some shows. And then, you know what, we'd get a show on the radar, we'd get back to jamming, and shit would be awesome. And that's the way it keeps going. But now we're committing to our first LP, and it's going to be fucking sweet.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
We're more pumped than we've ever been. So
yeah,
cool.
The time is now, I think.
Yeah.
The first time I met you guys was when Sarah Destruction was in Goat.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And we were putting together a show. I can't even remember exactly who played, but you guys played with us. And was Goat, the Flydowns. It was like one of our EP release parties or something like that. And she had reached out to you guys, I think. And I had not seen you guys before, and the first time I saw you guys is when you played with Goat, and the stage show itself is just like an absolute energy bomb. You know, you guys are just fucking killing it up there, and it was crazy. And I remember after the show, I was talking to Ben, and he said, "Yeah, this is probably the last Warfare show that's going to happen." And me and him were actually talking. I'm like, "Yeah, Goat's looking for..." Oh shit, no, this doesn't even work because Sarah was still in the band. Yeah, my facts.
No, it
are
was
all
before
fucked up.
That. I think it was a couple of years before that, because I remember the conversation because Ben talked to me about it.
Where he was
going to
come
joining,
try out for Goat.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
No
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah,
he'd be a good fit.
Why? Because he looks like a fucking goat.
I was gonna say he's a talented musician and he loves that kind of music. But anyway, yeah,
but
it works.
Anyway, I think here's the thing. This is what I was trying to get at, is that I actually reached out to him a bunch of months later and I said, "Hey, are you still interested in coming out and like just playing some guitar with Goat?" And he said, "No, Warfare is recording a new record. Like we're after that one show that you played whenever."
Yeah.
It like rejuvenated everything that you guys wanted to do and basically backs up what you guys were just saying.
Yeah.
And it's been since then, since I've talked to any of you, really. I think Val Venus, who,
yes.
Mitch, you play in.
Yeah.
We played together at, I can't even remember what the show was. But anyway, so it rejuvenated like what you wanted to do in Warfare, and now you guys are working on a new record.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is fucking super exciting to me.
Yeah, man, no, we're over the moon. We're over the moon. No, it's been a long time coming, and the song, part of me is really stoked that we waited so long, because the songs have reached like a level of maturity and they've never sounded better. So it's great. We've got 10 tracks, you know. We've been a band for fucking 5 years, and it's not a lot of writing. You know, that ratio's off. But it speaks to, you know, the quality of the songs, I think. I think it's going to be a rager. I think it's going to be a fucking awesome
I think
album.
We're going to get good response from everyone. They'll get what they've wanted for a long time, like the energy that we give in our shows. They'll be able to feel that throughout the album.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Where are you recording?
We are recording with Dave Sarazen, a good buddy of mine. He's also doing all the stuff for Val Venus. So for the drums, we did at Raven Studios. That's where he works. Mm-hmm. And all the other stuff we're doing, except for vocals, at his place. He's got a really good setup, and Dave's he's amazing to work with, and very, very good at what he does. And so far, we're listening to our raw tracks, and I'm already completely satisfied with just the raw tracks. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for the outcome of this album.
And are these all new brand new stuff since you've decided to kind of like keep going with the stuff, or is there stuff like that was hanging on from before, or that was never recorded, or is it all?
No, this is stuff from just from the years going by. There's stuff from the first year, stuff from the second, third, fourth, and then stuff that we recently just wrote as well too. So, and like I'm even adapting and changing little parts here and there, just because it's fresh, but it's still had time to mature and kind of evolve a bit.
I was gonna say most of those songs on the Warfare EP are gonna be on the new album, I think, all except for one. Everything since day one, really.
But it'll have a different sound, a different feel, different energy, just because it moved, you know, from just sitting there and just brewing. So,
Cool, man. I can't wait to hear that. Before we continue on with Warfare, I think we should address some other stuff that's going on, like with you guys individually. Let's talk about the Val Venus, which I touched on earlier. Which is another rad punk band in the city. What's happening with that? Like, what's the...
Right now, Val Venus, like, we haven't been playing many shows. We'll play small little shows here and there because we are also in the process of recording, but mostly writing and recording, doing shots at a time. Me and the singer, bass player, Drew, we've been... you know, just getting together a lot and writing, and it's a slow process, but we're writing stuff that is completely different, and we're really focusing on that, kind of taking a break of, you know, doing weekend warrior tours or even just long tours, anything like that. Not saying that we wouldn't do them, but we're focused on that, and we just really want to come up with something good, and I think we're there. We're going to be doing this, I think, pretty much all year, just writing and slowly recording, doing sessions at Raven Studios. And so far, I'm really excited to see what's going to come out of it.
What's it like splitting your time between the two bands? Is it manageable, or are you like overwhelmed, or is it just fucking, you just love doing it?
I don't get overwhelmed. It is fucking shitty sometimes, but I make it work. It is what it is.
Tell them what you really think.
Yeah, we get the butt end of the stick. Is that the saying? I don't know. No, I'm kidding, Mitch.
The shit end of the stick.
The butt end of the joke. Something like one of those sayings. No,
don't threaten me with a good time.
No, it's cool. Mitch always makes time
it's,
for us.
Yeah, I make time, but obviously I will prioritize. You know what I tried to say?
Prioritize?
There you go. Depending if one of my bands has a show coming up or whatnot. But I always make time for my bands. I rarely ever miss the jam session with Warfare, or same thing for Val Venus. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Chris? Outside of Warfare, what else do you have going on?
Musically, nothing at the moment. I like I said, after Hands of the Few split up, it was straight Warfare, and I was dabbling in like a sort of experimental punk rocky Western horror band. It was a slew of things. We were called Pitchfork. It's a bad name, I know, but and that was a lot of fun. But we that's not happening anymore. So it's just warfare musically, 100%, and I'm stoked.
I find when you're talking about Pitchfork too, and maybe we'll just have a conversation about this. I'm fascinated with like the naming of bands. I love the, like when people name a band and then I ask them like, what were some of the like the send-offs that didn't make the cut when it comes to like band names?
Take this one.
Yeah. Well, I was sold on Streeter Pete for Warfare, and that was it. That was the bottom line. I was like, Streeter Pete all the way, and I had buy-in from like half the band.
Streeter Pete?
Yeah, it was just the name of the street I grew up on. They fucked up the sign. It was supposed to be Peter Street, but they just fucked it up, the sign. So it's Streeter Pete.
Oh, nice.
So that's the street I grew up on, and I don't know. I just thought that was like a random name because our band was just, you know, it's the music's all over the place, and I thought it really suited the band. But I didn't have buy-in on that one, so that one went out the door. What else did we have?
I still don't know why that didn't work out.
Camp Kill? Was that another Warfare
prospect? I do not remember
prospect?
That.
Yeah, that didn't fly.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's not bad. I don't know how we landed on Warfare.
That was my next question, actually.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm trying to think, but...
We spell it in all caps.
I know,
so
I was
going to
say all caps.
You see it, you're like, oof, whoa, wow. That's
so that you don't miss it.
Yeah.
Because it's intense.
Yeah, I mean... That's a great question, actually. I'm always curious to find out about that sort of stuff as well.
Okay. But well, who came up? Who was the one that pitched it, and who was the one, or like, did you all decide on it and say like, nah, that'll do?
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a voting system, basically, just like any other decision in any band, really.
Put your hand up. Like, yeah, that's cool.
Well, yeah. For the energy of the show and for the substance of the music, Warfare, all caps, is a fucking dope name for what you guys are trying to present or represent. For sure. So cool.
We got shit on by a band, I forget where they're out of. They're a band in the States, I think. Anyways, they're Warfare. It's one word and it's a question mark at the end. I think they're like a crust band.
Well, I don't think they know too much what they are. That's why there's a fucking question mark.
I don't get it, but nothing on the band, but
well,
so who knows? Maybe there'll be some legal issues down the road, but we'll probably never get that famous.
I'm in a band called Goat, and there is a band out of Sweden called Goat, and they're like this weird psychedelic, like hippie rock kind of band. They dance around in like tunics and masks and shit like that.
That's fucking sick.
And when I called my band Goat, I wanted to just be like, I thought it'd be cool. Like, I'll just call it Goat. That's funny, you know, whatever. So we ended up breaking it down to an acronym, because if you think of like, is that right? Acronym. That's right. Sorry. If you think of like the GOAT, like in sports, it's like the greatest of all time. G-O-A-T, right?
Oh.
But we're not the greatest of all time. So actually GOAT, my actual band's name is Getting Old and Tired.
Right. I like that.
That's pretty fucking good. That's good.
The shitty thing is that every time you like go like and you Google or you Bandcamp or anything Goat, it comes up to that Swedish band. So what we did when you were talking about the question mark, what we did is we do capitals as well, just like Warfare, G-O-A-T, but we put the exclamation mark. So it's like GOAT. Yeah.
Which is how a goat would say it, I think.
Yeah.
As well.
I think so.
Yell it at you.
Have you ever hung out with a goat?
Not recently, but I wouldn't mind it. Well, I mean.
Are you not now?
I suppose we are.
Getting old and tired.
I like that. I can relate.
Right on.
All right, guys. Let's play another song off of Warfare.
Cool. Let's play. What do you want to play?
What's on
they
there again?
They Live.
All right. Let's play They Live.
They Live?
They Live.
All right. This is Ego and Vice, episode 36. I'm sitting here with Mitch and Chris from Warfare. Off of Warfare. This is
They Live.
They Live.
Take them all to death, girl. Sign your blood, your blood. And yeah!
Okay, every time anyone comes on Eagle and Vice, I always go through the same thing. It's called the rapid question period. Mitch and Chris, are you guys up for that?
Let's yes, sir.
All right, let's do it.
You must be fuckered, man. Like, what's he talking about?
Any questions?
Hey, so this is the rapid question period with Mitch and Chris from Warfare. I'll ask you each individually, and you guys can answer as you see fit. Ready?
Right on.
All right, Mitch.
Yes.
What is your biggest musical influence?
John Bottom.
Okay.
Chris?
Me?
Yes.
Yes. Right. Okay. Propaganda.
Very good.
Hands down.
All right. Reband.
I got scared. Go.
What is the first record you bought? Record, tape, cassette, with your own money.
It was the Offspring Americana CD.
Okay.
With my own money, it might have been Tragic Kingdom, No Doubt, on cassette.
Oh yeah. Spice Girls. No doubt.
I had an allowance back then.
It's okay.
Anyway.
Okay. Let's see. What was the last music you listened to?
Oh, I was listening to Not On Tour. It's a band from Middle East. They're amazing.
Okay.
I've heard of them, actually. I heard they're really good.
Oh, it's fucking unreal.
Maybe you were telling me. I was listening to Pup today. I was listening to Pup.
Oh, they're a rad band.
Dream is over. Yeah.
Yeah, great band.
Fucking love it.
Guilty pleasure music.
Taylor Swift.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, this is.
I
don't know.
It.
I don't know.
No, you do
guilty
know.
Pleasure. I like a lot of stuff. I've been listening to a lot of Bahamas recently, but I don't really think that's a guilty pleasure. He's just really good. Oh God, who knows? But it's probably really embarrassing. I can't think of it right now.
Okay. Pass. Sure. He says pass.
Pass. Too embarrassing.
All right. Cats or dogs?
Fucking dogs.
Cats, man.
Nice.
All the way.
What is your today? Doesn't have to be your whole life. Today, what is your favorite song?
Oh shit, that's a good one. Wait up. Give me a quick fucking second here. That's a heavy one. Jesus. The third track from the new Propaganda album. I forget what it's called because I'm baffled.
You copycat. Propaganda track 3.
Track 3 off Victory Lap. My
it's probably Cop Out of Frame.
Cop just out of frame. Yeah. So good.
So fucking
so good.
Jizz.
Yeah. I would say Harry Scarecrow by Wilhelm Scream off Party Crasher.
That's a fucking good one too.
I just can't get that melody out of my head.
Okay.
I'll get that melody out of here.
Today, what is your favorite band?
Can't answer that. Too many different.
Just today.
Today.
Doesn't have to be the same tomorrow. Doesn't define you. It's just a question.
Lagwagon was pretty good today.
There it is.
Electric Light Orchestra. ELO.
Very good.
Turn to stone.
What was the first concert or show you ever saw? Like live music?
First one I can remember was ZZ Top.
Nice.
At a Blues Fest when it was Blues Fest.
Nice. Yeah. She does have legs.
Oh, fuck yes, she does.
Does Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats, the musical, count?
Show, first concert show. Yeah, I'll take that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What is your death row meal? Last meal you'll ever eat.
Probably a handgun because I'd rather do it myself.
Bullet. Oh, a fucking bullet, he says.
No, I'm not too sure. Probably my mom's spaghetti. It's pretty good.
All right. Okay, Marshall Mathers. I'm going to go burrito and just like full on, just the greasiest burrito with chips.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Wait. Meat? No meat.
No meat. No meat.
All right.
Fine. Okay. What is your death row song? Last song you can listen to but before they pull the switch.
Oh, I have to make it intense. It'd probably be Comeback Kid, Losing Sleep. Yeah.
Probably the song that I had my first dance with my wife during. I'm kidding. That's too cheesy. Yeah. It would probably be.
It's safe though.
It would be
very safe.
I still love you. It would be Peter Frampton, "Baby, I Love Your Way."
Oh my god.
Do you guys ever see the movie High Fidelity?
No.
No.
Is that Peter fucking Frampton?
And you gotta watch this.
So good.
All right, and in one sentence, describe the best day of your life. Whether it's happened or whether you'd like it to happen. How about that?
Oh, man. You're making me sweat.
Hmm.
I don't know if I can do that.
It's today, right now, with me and Mike. What else could you want? Ever.
That's nice.
Three mics. One mic.
Oh.
I don't know. Oh. I can't do that.
Okay. I have these dreams where I'm playing a show on a boat, like the biggest boat ever. It's like the Titanic, but the audio never works. And, you know, those nightmares where you want something to happen and it doesn't happen. So I think it would be just playing a show on a huge boat with all my friends.
Cool, man.
That's it. That's all.
My dream is bombing that boat.
So, episode 36 of Ego and Vice with Mitch and Chris of Warfare. This has been a great time, guys.
Yeah man.
Thank you so much for having
pleasure.
Us.
Hey, man, it's been my pleasure. Absolutely my pleasure. Let's talk about some stuff that is coming up. Maybe give us some links, some shows that are coming up. I know we're playing a couple of shows together in the next month.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. There's excuse me, I just had a stroke. Chord Productions show is coming up June 9th at Mavericks. So that's going to be great. We're playing with Gutter Demons and Goat.
That's me.
Goat.
Fucking right.
Who else is on that bill?
Cultural Treason.
Right. Yeah, I think that's Ken's new band from Four Stroke, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Right on. Yeah, I'm really excited to hear them play. So
Ken Ketchum?
Yeah.
Who's been on the show?
Ken Ketchum, great auto musician, been in the scene for a long time. We are pumped to play that show. We got at Leaky Bees.
Oh, you can't give it away.
Oh, damn. We got to edit this out.
Edit that. We have a show, Ask a Punk, Not Us.
I didn't give the address. I don't know the address.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
I don't know the address.
Okay, it's all good.
Someone just takes me there blindfolded every time. And
I don't know. What's the rule on that, the Ask a Punk? Can you not even say the venue?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's like Voldemort or something? You just don't. I don't know, but we're playing there. And I hope we're still on the bill if this goes live and they hear that.
That's okay.
No, I'm kidding. We're going to play there. Rip Fest, I believe it's called.
Rip
Not
Fest.
Not Rib, but Rip.
Yep.
With some punk bands that have paid their dues and we're stoked to play with them. Rip Tides, Rip Chords.
Absolutely.
We are so amped. Mitch, who else is on that bill?
I'm not too sure.
I think that's
Chris.
It. I'm pretty sure that's
a
it.
Hard time.
What, were three bands playing?
Three bands, I think so.
I like that.
It's okay. The Riptides, the Ripcords.
That rubs me the right way.
We are the outsiders on that. How do we? We don't have Rip anywhere in our name.
The
Warfare Rips.
Rip Fest.
Anyway, Rip Fair. Anyway,
we don't need to have it in our name just because we rip.
So that's smooth. That's June 30th.
Yeah.
You can find that event by asking a punk.
Cool.
Right. On the DL. Yes.
And where can the good listener find your music? Where can they hear your stuff?
Just give us a quick search on Bandcamp, Warfare. And that's where we are right now. Again, we're in the process of
recording
an LP, so we'll get the marketing pushing on that with our zero marketing budget.
Yeah,
but we'll be flooding the social feeds as soon as that's out.
Do you have a timeline of when that thing's gonna drop? Or
it's hard to say right now because it's still soon, but we're pressing for it, and we're trying to organize it that when it comes out like a bomb. With we'll have merch and everything, but we want to do it right. We're not rushing it. Like we were talking about earlier, when we decided we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. Like the EP, the songs you guys are hearing or whatnot, this was, you know, just as we were starting, just to give a glance of what we sound like. So we want to make this as good as we can and not taking too much time, but, you know, time effective.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, man, it was, guys, it was a great honor to have you guys in here. I love your band, and I'm really happy that we're going to be playing together this Saturday at Mavericks.
Sir.
And on the 30th at the Ask a Punk show. check out Warfare. We're really looking forward to your full-length record dropping within the next X amount of time.
Yeah.
Hopefully early next year, latest.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Latest.
No,
we're on track.
And definitely check them out. Just search Warfare at bandcamp.com or on Facebook. This is Ego and Vice, episode 36. If you want to get a hold of me, you can contact me at egoandvice@gmail.com. If you want to hear any of the episodes, you can go to egoandvice.com. All the podcasts are up there for free. You can also find me at iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic, and I think I said Facebook, but I'm going to say it again. Cool. thanks again, guys. This has been Ego and Vice, episode 36 with Mitch and with Chris from Warfare.
Right on.
Go to fucking Mavericks on Saturday. It's going to be a great show. Thanks again, guys.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you, man.
All right. We'll see you down the road.
Bye.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.